The founders of America passed the First Amendment, which not only guarantees religious freedom, but it expressly says that Congress shall not abridge freedom of speech or freedom of the press. And yet in our day, cancel culture has chilling effects on free speech. Of course, cancel culture doesn't always necessarily emanate from the government, but sometimes it does. A.J. Rice is the president and CEO of Publius PR. He's also the editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post, and he's also the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. I'm Jerry Nuka. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome A.J. Rice to the program. Thank you for joining us, sir. Appreciate it.
Brother Jerry, great to be here, my friend.
Okay, good. Now, first of all, we have to set the plate here. Cancel culture isn't necessarily something that the government per se causes, so therefore maybe the First Amendment doesn't always apply, correct?
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be equally defending it no matter what. They're supposed to be free speech absolutists. Yeah, you can't yell fire in a theater. Supreme Court's decided that. I always think that's just a canard anyway. This is really about, you know, picking and choosing which speech that they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow. When they talk about equity, like the vice president has been over the last couple of days, that's what they're talking about. It's everything's being filtered through identity. So they're not looking for the best and the brightest, and they're certainly not looking for opinions from me, probably you, and a lot of the listeners of this audience. But here we are. Madison and Jay and Hamilton gave this to us. And that's what my company's named after, their pen name of the Federalist Papers. And we're not going to be silenced. So we're going to have to adapt. Conservatives are going to have to create their own platforms, which we're very good at doing, and, you know, take the First Amendment to the haters.
Excellent. In fact, there's this one description of your book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. Quote, "The Woking Dead are everywhere, an army of undead ghouls turning millions into mindless, ravenous devourers of all things good and American." Now, it's interesting that you would mention the Federalist Papers. I think those are fantastic. Though, just to put this in historical perspective, a lot of people don't realize this, but, okay, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, in that order, in terms of the number of the letters that they wrote letters to the editors of the newspapers of New York State, just that one state, in order to get them to ratify the Constitution, but they explained the Constitution and how it works and the whole reasoning behind it. And it's really like the best political science writing just about in America's history. It wasn't even known at the time exactly who these writers were, that's my understanding. But anyway, that's a great name.
They Publius. Were using a pen name. The pen name they were using was Publius.
Right,
the name of my company.
Yeah, and that's from the
ancient Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it from them, and they got it from ancient Rome.
Rome, exactly.
Who was an orator, you know, during the Roman Republic.
Exactly. Okay, so let me ask you, you mentioned the Vice President, Kamala Harris, said that basically here's the gist of what she said. We should treat and help the victims of Hurricane Ian based on the color of their skin. So, in other words, go for the dark people first and then the white people.
Now, look, you didn't realize this, but, you know, and I didn't either. The Hurricane Ian is a racist. Didn't you know that?
No, how?
Didn't you get the memo that Hurricane Ian was a racist?
I didn't.
FEMA's not going to save white people if they need help? I mean, this is where we're at. When you talk about the Woking Dead, it is wokeism that is basically trickle-down wokeism. So if the vice president of the United States makes something like that, racial equity for communities of color, her primary goal when talking about a natural disaster, then, you know, the Democrat Party's shot. I mean, if that's how their brain thinks at this point, because they're so captured by political correctness, by cancel culture, by critical race theory, it's really all just a big sort of, you know, potpourri container of what I would say cultural Marxism. If they're that captured, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, the Democrat Party, there, you know, of the past, and even some guys that are out there now, that don't always agree with Jerry and AJ on much, but they used to be free speech absolutists.
Yeah.
And they're not anymore. They're filtering their entire existence through this sort of race obsessed, prism. And it's really sad to watch.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You use the phrase First Amendment absolutist or free speech absolutist. The ACLU liked to call themselves that, you know, way back when. I didn't always agree with them. In fact, I usually didn't agree with them. In fact, one of their officials even said, I would not want to live in an America where the ACLU won all of its decisions. But there was at least an attempt, or so it would seem, to try and balance things out a little bit in terms of the First Amendment. Now, no, they're into the transgender agenda and the homosexual agenda and pro-abortion agenda and so forth, and they are not free speech absolutists, to put it nicely.
No, I mean, look, this is a crackdown. It's a cultural tyranny. And the goal, look, this is, and this didn't show up yesterday. I mean, this goes back to, pre-World War I America, where they, cultural Marxists had Marx in one hand and Antonio Gramsci in the other, and they wanted to do the long march through the institutions. So the goal was to capture our entertainment industry, our media, our public schools, and then obviously make home in the Democrat Party of Margaret Sanger and Woodrow Wilson. And if you fast forward to today, it's the same villains, Jerry. The only one difference is they've got the digital brown shirts as their enforcers.
Mm.
So whereas if you wanted to censor the Bible or Ernest Hemingway 100 years ago, it took a lot to do that. It took a lot to censor Orwell or Ray Bradbury or Mark Twain or whoever. But today, because of the internet technology, you could get knocked offline at the speed of light.
Hmm.
You could get deplatformed. You can get demonetized. You can get shadow banned. And look, if they can't get you digitally, they may give out your home address like they did with Brett Kavanaugh. Then they'll come to your house.
That's amazing. Give us an overview of your book. First of all, how big is it? How many pages roughly?
Well, look, it's a fun book. It's for the, short attention span theater generation, which is me. I'm a millennial. I'm a geriatric millennial, but I'm a millennial nonetheless, and you don't have to read it cover to cover. It's a collection of vignettes, about 100 of them. There's 10 sections, and you can jump around, kind of like track listings on an album. You can jump around, and you don't have to read it cover to cover. We have a lot of humor in there, a lot of horror. Sometimes we turn horror into humor, which I think is the definition of comedy. Obviously, we're poking fun at The Walking Dead by basically saying that for the most part, we've got entire swaths of our culture, from corporations to professional sports teams, that have been completely captured by the woke virus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, now this station is based on, the Bible. It's a Christian station and so forth. And even within churches, I'm sorry to say, even sometimes professed evangelical churches, you do find pastors that are woke and so forth. And it's disheartening to see this.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, it depends on the type of Christian church you're in.
Yeah. Okay.
I always think of this one. I always think of this one thing. It's something that actually comes from a comedian that was not really liked by Christians, but if the irony, of course, if he heard me today using it to defend Christianity, Lenny Bruce used to say that you can attack God, but only if you attack the right God, right? So when it comes to liberalism or wokeism, you can attack God, but don't you dare say anything about Obama, the Obama God or the Marx God or the Allah God. You can make fun of Christianity and Judaism and capitalism. They're the gods you're allowed to attack. So, if you're not a protected God from the left, fair game. It's open season on Jesus, on Moses, on Adam Smith and the Federalist Papers. It's open season. Because if you make fun of the wrong God, you could get stabbed on stage like Salman Rushdie.
Yeah.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this authoritarianism in the form of the Woking Dead doesn't just come from the left. It can also come from radical Islamic terrorists, as we learned there.
In many ways, since you mentioned Orwell earlier, I think we can all learn from Orwell's 1984 book.
100%. I mean, it's like a user's manual for what we're living through right now. I mean, it's not even a book anymore. It went from being fiction to being a user's manual. It's reality.
Yeah,
right?
my friend.
We're like living through it.
I know.
Unbelievable.
My friend Jared Stepman from the Heritage Foundation wrote about 1984 about a month ago, or he mentioned 1984, and he said, somebody needs to tell the Biden administration that 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not a guide.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. There you go. It's exactly my point. I mean, they're in everything. You and I knew this was not just going to be about a bunch of Civil War statues. So, you know, statue of General Lee and his horse Traveler. Once they were done assassinating the statues of the Confederate generals, they would move right on to the Union generals and then go back to the War of 1812 and go World War One, and we'll go after Teddy Roosevelt, we'll go after Columbus, we're going to go after the Rosary, and we're going to go after anything that represents Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian civilization, because that's what this has always been about, okay? They can do the Me Too thing and the trans mafia thing and the George Floyd was the greatest human being that's ever lived, garbage. They can run that all day long, but you and I know what this has always been about. It's been about resetting civilization, getting rid of the things that made us special, and filling it with their bleak image, which is what it is. Hmm. It's a bleak image. In most cases, it's an atheist, sort of bizarre, alternative lifestyle that, quite frankly, most of the country doesn't live like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know who their audience is for some of this stuff. But it's certainly not the one I'm talking to right now.
Okay, we have about 2.5 minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and tell us in terms of the content of your book? Like, what do your chapters deal with?
Well, look, we deal with there's a section on Trump and how he fought wokeness. There's a section on Biden on how him and Kamala, the dummy, are pushing it more and more and more. I mean, if I was still writing a book, I could write it every day based on how they open their mouth. But look, we get into sports, we get into entertainment, we deal with the, the faculty lounges of America, where a lot of this stuff is coming from. You know, most of the time, if they're the petri dishes, where they're pumping this stuff out into the culture. And we deal. Look, we have fun. You know, I poke fun at pretty much everyone. You know, it's I'm trying to hang a joke on them, Jerry. Right. And I make some salient points, and I try to think it's like a fun read, right? It's not your boring. It's not a boring conservative, elongated, speech. It's not. It's in little nuggets. You can jump around. And look, we need to send the Democrats packing in November. So the one thing that they created is 75 million poll watchers. That's what we got now. So we're going to send Schumer packing. We're going to retire Pelosi. We're going to send her to Italy with Chef Boyardee, her husband. They can drive around Italy together in retirement. She can be the ambassador. And, we're going to try to at least get this government back on track to do what it needs to do to stop wokeness from basically infecting everything. Because we can write all the books we want and host all the shows we want. But until we start taking over these, school boards and House races and state Senate races, we can't do anything. So that's what we have to do. And it's happening. It's happening, Jerry. There is an insurrection happening. It's an insurrection of parents trying to take back their country.
Right, a peaceful one. Yeah, by the way, this reminds me of what Martin Luther once said, something along the lines of, the devil can tolerate all kinds of things, but he can't stand being mocked. And I think those who are woke, that's the one thing they can't stand being, and that is mocked. It sounds like your book does that. Is there a website for the book?
Absolutely. Well, you can get the book anywhere books are sold. So, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target, Walmart.com. You could go to WokingDeadBook.com, WokingDeadBook.com. And look, I have a PR firm. We appreciate you and this audience. You guys are patriots. You've put a lot of our people on over the years. And, if you're a conservative and you're looking to get out there in the media, you could go to PubliusPR.com.
Okay, AJ Rice, thanks so much. All the best.
All right, brother. Thank you.